Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
President Biden sought to reverse key policies of former President Trump during this weekend's summit of the Group of 20. Biden lifted steel and aluminum tariffs enacted by Trump that was good for American producers, but had caused friction between the United States and the European Union. Talks included preventing Iran from securing a nuclear weapon, and Biden forged an agreement with other countries aimed at making corporations pay more in taxes. As leaders agreed the climate crisis must be addressed, China has announced it will continue to build more coal-powered power plants for at least another decade. For the first time, the Supreme Court will hear lawsuits against the Texas heartbeat law, which makes abortions illegal after a heartbeat is detected. Linda McLean, a professor of law at Boston University, tells CBSN what to expect.
To challenge an unconstitutional law that prevents women from getting access to abortion after 6 weeks.
USA Radio News.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
As the Houston Astros beat the Atlanta Braves Sunday night 9-5, sending the World Series back to Houston, some sad news comes out of the baseball world.
Former Major League second baseman Jerry Remy, who went on to have a lengthy career as a beloved broadcaster for the Boston Red Sox, has passed away at 68 after losing a sixth bout with cancer. He said in an interview a couple of years ago, after four challenges with that disease,
because I'm a public person, because, you know, I'm on television, I'm in the homes of Red Sox fans and fans. If in some way, by me saying this, they say, hey, make an appointment, you know, let's get in here. We haven't had a physical in 3 or 4 years. Let's go see what's going on. Then I consider it a success. I consider it worth it.
Again, Jerry Remy, the former ball player turned Red Sox broadcaster, has died at 68. Reporting from Boston for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Thanks for listening, my friend. We are USA Radio News.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
As the federal government is demanding to be a part of your medical life with vaccine mandates, Americans are losing their jobs. And with the absence of first responders, this policy is making Americans less safe. Frontline workers will be rallying in Washington, D.C. today. D.C. firefighter Will Jones tells Fox News someone lost their life over the weekend in New York City because leaders there closed down over 24 firehouses due to the vaccine mandate.
Obviously, we don't want that to happen, but just yesterday, there were 26 firehouses that were closed down because of staff shortages in New York, and unfortunately someone lost their life in a fire because the first due company, the one that would be the first engine company supposed to respond, was shut down because of those shortages. We don't know what will happen, but we know that's a distinct possibility, and that's what we definitely want to avoid here. And especially in D.C., it's incredible that they're going to these lengths, because we are providing negative tests before coming into work, so we're not a threat for spreading COVID. We're providing these negative tests, yet they're still saying, because you haven't made that same personal health choice that we want you to make, that you're going to need to lose your job. And that's really going to jeopardize the entire city, put everyone in the city at risk. And that's why we're so vocal about this and speaking out against it.
The Houston Astros stayed alive in the World Series as they defeated the Atlanta Braves 9-5 on Sunday. Game 6 moves back to Houston on Tuesday. Atlanta leads the series 3-2 in the best of 7. I'm Lance Pry, USA Radio News.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from the Timeshare Exit Hotline, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get out of their expensive timeshare contracts. We're offering you a way to legally get rid of your timeshare. So if you're fed up with the maintenance fees that keep on coming and want to learn if you can terminate your timeshare legally and permanently, call today. Even if you've tried before and were unsuccessful in getting rid of your timeshare, call today and see if we can help. We offer a complete 100% unconditional client satisfaction guarantee. Make this completely free call and learn how we can help you legally put an end to your timeshare nightmare once and for all. You have nothing to lose, so call right now to qualify and receive a free consultation. 800-897-1434. 800-897-1434. That's 800-897-1434. Paid for by Airtime Media.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Neil Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. You better stop.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Welcome. Good to have you with us. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezShow.com. It's all right there. Hey, look, we got a real treat for you. Daniel Kuhneman is going to be with us in just a second. We're going to talk about his book that has inspired an incredible, incredible documentary. The book is Breath of Life, Three Breaths That Shaped Humanity. He's a Canadian filmmaker. And the almost cinematic beauty of his writing, if we can put it in those terms, reflects his background as a storyteller while still being biblically sound. Daniel, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Hey, thanks, Bill. Good to be here.
The Three Breaths That Shaped Humanity, break that down for us.
Yeah, well, it all started when I felt like God whispered this word to me, breath. I was going to Tanzania, and I discovered that breath is actually, believe it or not, one of the main thread lines through the entire scripture. When I heard that word breath, I was taken, first of all, into the Garden of Eden. And, you know, there's this amazing thing that happens in the creation is God is speaking, according to the book of Genesis, if your listeners are familiar with it. He's speaking from, it seems like from a distance, he's saying, let there be light, let these things appear, and let amazing things happen. He's creating through his words and his voice, but when he comes into the Garden of Eden, it's a really specific and special moment because when he comes to make humanity, he actually gets into the garden, touches the earth for the first time, and he forms. It says he's a sculptor, he's a potter, he's forming Adam from the dust of the earth. Mm-hmm. And then even though God has made him, he's not alive until God breathes on Adam. And so it's actually the breath of God that brings him to life. And I discovered a lot more about this breath, but that was the first breath that essentially shaped humanity, because every breath ever that humanity breathes is actually 8 trillion breaths a day. Exactly. In humanity, and they're all upheld by the breath of God. So that was the first breath that shaped humanity.
Yeah, just to pause, have a Selah moment, as the Bible would say, and just let your brain wrap around that all of us are breathing what God gave us, or, you know, that very breath of life that has been multiplied time and time again from God Almighty. And for God to have that care for us, to impart that in us. Wow. What a gift, huh?
It's such an incredible gift, and, you know, it's a free gift. And I think what we forget is that we pass that automatic response on through our DNA to our children, right? We're made in God's image. And then, you know, there's that moment when Adam and Eve have a child and they say, wow, we made this person in our image. You know, we passed on this ability.
Right.
And every single breath comes from that first breath of God.
The second breath.
Yeah, the second breath, you know, when I first started studying breath and I dug into the Hebrew, because in the Hebrew words, there's about 7 more layers of death. And, mm-hmm. you know, the word breath in Hebrew is this word ruach, which is actually quintessentially it's spirit and it's a breath at the same time. Mm-hmm. So when he breathed on Adam, he imparted spirit. And you can imagine that, you know, you think about it, when your spirit, when you die, your spirit leaves your body at your last breath, right?
Right, so
your
exactly.
Spirit and your breath are completely connected. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's this moment in all four Gospels where it describes the last breath of Jesus on the cross. And it very specifically says that he said to the Father, to essentially, you know, Yahweh, who's his breath giver, he says, into your hands I commit my spirit. And it's this word spirit / breath. And then it says he breathed his last. And the thing that's so significant is that right before he breathed that last breath, he said, it is finished, because he had accomplished the redemption of humanity by never once, you know, going against God, never once missing the mark. He was fully God, but he was fully man. He's called the second Adam. And so he breathed every breath as a human being, but he breathed without ever coming short of God's glory, coming short of what God had set for him to do with his life. And he breathed that last breath, said it is finished. And actually that breath redeemed us to have the opportunity to get the third breath, which is really the most amazing breath of them all.
Well, again, for a moment, you consider the second breath that redeemed humanity from sin. Wow. And here it is, God redeeming his creation from that original breath where it all began to bring us back home, right?
Yeah, and he wanted that relationship with us. And I think the thing that I want to also just share with the listeners is that when God first shaped Adam in the Garden of Eden, this incredible thing happened where he sculpted him, molded him, formed him. There's this word that says he put his life force into humanity. So we start to bear his image and take on his character. But then what really makes us truly image bearers of God, and this blew my mind when I discovered this, is that when the Father who entered the garden as Yahweh says the sound of his name, the sound of his name is the sound of breath. And he went, Yah! He inhaled and exhaled the sound of his name upon Adam's face. And it says that he blew that breath of life into Adam's nostrils, which in the Hebrew, again, in the nostrils is actually the being. It's like the whole face of Adam. And just all of a sudden, it's like a defibrillator just bam against the face and the body, the soul of Adam. And he says his first word, Yahweh. It's the name of the creator that gives life.
Wow. What a beautiful scene, you know, when you think about that, right? And of course, here God is declaring himself in his own inimitable way as Yahweh. And there's something, as you study Yahweh and what it represents, why it was and should be still so holy, right?
Yeah, you know, that was one of the things that this took me for a real trip in my own heart, was that, you know, it says in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord God in vain. But in the Hebrew, it's saying, thou shalt not take the name of Yahweh in vain. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I realized that we say the name of Yahweh every time we breathe. So if we're saying his name, are we saying it in a spirit of life or of death? Are we saying it as a blessing or a curse? Are we saying it as we live and breathe our way through life? Wow. Are we cursing him or are we blessing him? And, you know, it says in the book of Acts that Paul, like the apostle, you know, the great healer, right? Before he was transformed on that road to Damascus, it says that as Saul, he was breathing out murderous threats with everything he did.
Wow.
So you think about life and death are literally on our tongue, and it's because our breath is passing over our words. So we're either blessing or we're cursing. And I really want really all of the listeners to know that we, every time we breathe, we're saying the name Yahweh. So we really, truly have to think about how holy and how powerful his name is, and what are we actually doing? How are we wielding that name in our life?
Amen. Well, in Acts 17, you know, this powerful verse that rings out to me on a daily basis, Daniel, for in him we live and move and have our very being. I mean, you think about that and how that ties into Yahweh and our very breath. It's a reminder who we live for, isn't it?
You know, it absolutely. And it says in the book of Job that if he was to withdraw his breath, again, it's that word ruach, his sustaining presence. It says that all of humanity, all of flesh would perish in an instant. Literally, the universe would cease to exist if he withdrew his sustaining presence, his presence and spirit. And that is the very breath that we also breathe.
If that doesn't cause you to be thankful to God for his mercies that are new every morning, right? And his long suffering. What an awesome God we serve. And we'll talk more about Daniel's book and his experience with Breath of Life. Three breaths that shaped humanity and continues to do so. More from Daniel Kuhman on the other side of the break. We're coming on 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
This is an important message. Do you have an IRA, 401k, or retirement account worth more than $100,000? Your portfolio may qualify for an IRS tax loophole that allows you to own physical, precious metals inside of your retirement account. Want our free report that shows you how? We are WealthProtectionResearch.com, and we help investors connect with the top precious metal companies in America to own physical gold and silver inside their retirement account using this little-known but very powerful IRS loophole. To claim your free IRS loophole report today, just text the word GOLD to 48542. WealthProtectionResearch.com wants to get this information in your hands now so that you can protect your hard-earned investments. Text GOLD to 48542 to learn more. When you text the word GOLD to 48542, we'll send you a secure link to download our IRS loophole report to show you how to start protecting your wealth with precious metals. Don't wait. Text the word GOLD to 48542 now. Wealth Protection Research. Text GOLD to 48542.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Nobody wants to get ripped off, broken into, or robbed, but nobody wants to pay a lot of money to have their home protected either.
I've got an offer to tell you about to provide home security for your home for less than a dollar a day. For real, with no installation or equipment charges. And this is from a company rated number one by a leading consumer research company. According to the facts, most of you won't even call unless there's a burglary in your neighborhood or something bad happens. So let's give you a reason. Save money. For less than a dollar a day with no other costs, you can get your home secured. Plus, get a lifetime equipment replacement warranty. You need protection for your home. Call the home security hotline right now.
800-755-7921. 800-755-7921. 800-755-7921. That's 800-755-7921.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Welcome back. Bill Martinez here with the author and also Canadian filmmaker, Daniel Kuhman. We're talking about Breath of Life, Three Breaths That Shaped Humanity. Daniel, the book is running coincidental with this original three-part TV series, Breath of Life. Give us a little genesis. I mean, how did this come about for you?
Yeah, it's funny. I never thought of myself as the author side, but I've always been the filmmaker side. So my brothers and I, we run a studio in Canada called Unveil Studios, and we've been making films and documentaries. And I had my spoken goal to go around the world and tell stories. And so I've been to over 30 countries telling stories, and always with some sort of purpose and significance behind them. And, you know, we did this film called She Has a Name about a human trafficking story. And we kind of started to really get into the film stuff. And then all of a sudden I got whispered this word breath, and I discovered what it meant in the Hebrew. And I really didn't intend to write it down or create a documentary about it. But it's funny, when God speaks a word, it can multiply into 40,000, right?
So yes, exactly.
That's exactly what happened to me, is all of a sudden I found myself grabbing a pen and writing down notes, and I started sharing those with people, and they said, you need to write a book. And I started talking about the book, and they said, you got to make this into a TV series. That's what you guys do, is you make films. And so it turned into that kind of very organically. But I think that's the thing about when God gives us direction or purpose, is it turns into something, and we just have to listen to what he's going to say. And out of that came this three-part series, which has been a real treat to put together.
Where are we at with it? Is it available now, or, you know, to access? How do we access Breath of Life as a TV series?
Yeah, well, definitely excited for you guys to check it out. You can learn about the release. The first part comes out January 28th, so it's right now kind of, you can see clips and trailers and things and learn about who's in it. Breathoflifemedia.com. You'll be able to buy tickets to it'll be like an e-premiere, e-cinema premiere, and then it'll be hitting some TV stations and things later. But I really invite you to check out breathoflifemedia.com. There's some incredible people. We've got just leaders in the faith and creative community that they basically expound upon what's in the book. And those include Dallas Jenkins, creator of Chosen. Mm-hmm. We've got Kim Walker-Smith from Jesus Culture Music. We've got Skillet Band, the band Skillet, and Thousand Foot Crutch. Just some amazing contributors that help us understand in a deeper way what is this whole thing about breath in Scripture.
Interesting that you involve some musicians here. And I appreciate worship, people who have a real heart for worship, like Kim Walker-Smith and the others that you mentioned, because they bring to the conversation some insight and revelation that I believe people who are worships, you know, that are worship leaders, people who worship on a continuous basis, they just, you know, you have this sense they're in the throne room of God, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as Jesus' own words, he said, I'm looking for worshipers that will come in spirit and truth. And, you know, this whole idea of worship, if listeners go and read Psalm 150, the way that David, the psalmist, actually, you know, he's written this incredible masterpiece of the Psalms, and he finishes it with Psalm 150, where he says, let everything that breathes praise
has
the Lord.
Breath. Yes, I love that.
Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. And I think that worship is almost like the ultimate calling of human beings. And so to focus on worship and creativity within this documentary series was really inspiring. And, you know, creativity is this incredible gift that I think is the number one way that we resemble or bear the image of God, because we're all made in his image, but he wants us to actually bear that image. And, you know, there's a reason why in the Bible, Father God is described as a dancer, a potter, a sculptor, a painter. When you unpack all of these amazing Hebrew words, he is described as almost at his, like, heart of his nature. He's a creative artist. Yeah. And so for that reason, we really brought in these creative minds and worshipers to unpack some of that. And it's a very powerful how it comes together.
You know, and when you think about Psalm 150 and going back to Yahweh and the breath, that it's innately part of who we are as we've been designed, perfectly designed by God in his image. It's like we are praising God with each breath we take. It's already established. It's set there. And so when God says, I want you to apprehend that, he wants it to be, you know, be so that we're consciously aware, so that there is this gratitude of God Almighty who made us. And that, you know, if we should be beholden to anybody, it should be God only himself, should it not?
Absolutely. And to tie in what you're saying, if I could just mention that third breath that we didn't actually quite get into, is there's this moment where in the book, I guess it's in the end of the Gospels where Jesus has actually risen from the dead, and there's this fear within this upper room where the disciples and all his followers, you know, men and women are all gathered in there. And they've been told that, you know, whoever came for Jesus is coming for you, you know. Mm. And so they're in this upper room. It's panic and fear. And then they hear a creak at the stairs, a knock at the door. But nobody wants to open that door. So he walks right through the wall. And Jesus Christ, resurrected, is in the room with them. And there's this incredible moment where he recreates the moment that happened in the book of Genesis where Yahweh held Adam in his hands and breathed on him. Mm. He recreates very purposefully. And you look at the wording in these different texts from Genesis into now the Gospels, and it says he then basically asked them, okay, stand up, I'm going to do something. And he does something so bizarre, if you think about it, but he breathes on them. It says, he says, receive the Holy Spirit, and then Jesus breathed on the disciples. Mm. Mm. And it's a beautiful and incredible and intimate moment because it's like this face-to-face kiss with God. Yes. And what he's specifically doing is saying, I first gave you breath in the garden. Now I'm giving you the new breath, the holy breath of life. It's the Holy Spirit. And the word spirit, again, it means both spirit and breath, the Holy Spirit, right? Mm. So he's saying, like you said, every time you breathe, every single time you breathe, you can be worshiping in spirit and truth. You can actually be connecting with the creator of the universe, with your Savior, Jesus Christ, every single time that you breathe. And that's possible now to do it purely and with holiness because the Holy Spirit actually lives inside of us.
And you think about the supernatural power that was embedded in that, right? Because Jesus was not leaving us to our own devices. He knew what was going to follow. He knew that Satan was going to freak out. The forces of darkness were going to be multiplied and come at, just like they came after him. They were going to come after the church and the early church, parents and anybody that was going to align themselves with Jesus, you know, for that matter, and that what was required, because he said, look, what you need is going to follow me, but the Holy Spirit can't come until I leave, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's interesting. It's almost like there's only one figure of the Godhead on earth at a time, you know. He's got the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And it's truly powerful that he says, it's better for you if I go, because I'll give you this incredible gift. And you think about the first moment that someone becomes a new believer, the power that shaped the universe, because it says that he breathed stars and galaxies out of his mouth, according to Psalm 33. Mm-hmm. He created the heavenly host by his breath, his ruach. And then the first thing he gives the believers is the power that he actually used to raise Jesus from the dead, right? It's that incredible, immense, beautiful mm-hmm. power of the Holy Spirit, and we each get to walk with that.
Yeah, and you think about this, and I am reminded that this is what the cross has given us. It has given us, you know, freedom and supernatural powers to be overcomers to the things of this world. Otherwise, you know, what is it? We're just an experiment, the devil can have fun with. Is that what this is all about?
Right. And he wants us to actually be able to, again, bear his image, bring to, when he says, I made you in my image, he wants us to be like him, to do like he does. He says, even to the disciples, the first thing he says is, you want to forgive people, you can forgive people. Well, who forgives? God forgives.
Yes.
So he's saying, you can bear my image, you can do what I do, you can heal people, touch people, bless people, speak life, and bring my presence to people, because he's the giver of that spirit. And so what a privilege that we get to walk and actually bear his image every day.
And no question, the power of forgiveness and how that come in a sense is a double-edged sword, that we have that ability to wield forgiveness or withhold it, and withhold it, it's at a cost, and it's at our own ruination, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, without doubt.
Yeah, Daniel
Kuhman, you're awesome. Thank you so much. Breathoflife.com is where they want to go for more information.
Breathoflifemedia.com.
You missed the lowest mortgage rates in history? You're in luck, because they're back. Mortgage rates are near historic lows again. So if you have a mortgage, refinance it and forget it. You'll never have to worry about refinancing again. Network Capital Funding is offering a low 15-year fixed rate at 1.875% with a 2.01 APR. Incredible! Network Capital has built a reputation for saving people time and money with our unique process that's fast, simple, and secure. Our 15-year fixed rate is 1.875% with a 2.01 APR. Second chances don't come often, and you may never see these rates again. So refinance it, and forget it. That's a 15-year fixed rate at 1.875%. Yes, 1.875% with a 2.01 APR. Call the experts at Network Capital now. Call 800-500-1-HIT, 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run, call now and save big on your refi. 800-500-1-HIT, 800-500-1448. NMLS ID 1712, not licensed in all states. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Financial Protection and Innovation under the financing law. Number 603-87, an equal opportunity lender. Rates subject to change and may not be available at rate lock. Discount points may apply. Subject to credit approval. Call 800-500-1448 for additional cost information.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
President Biden sought to reverse key policies of former President Trump during this weekend's summit of the Group of 20. Biden lifted steel and aluminum tariffs enacted by Trump that was good for American producers, but had caused friction between the United States and the European Union. Talks included preventing Iran from securing a nuclear weapon, and Biden forged an agreement with other countries aimed at making corporations pay more in taxes. As leaders agreed the climate crisis must be addressed, China has announced it will continue to build more coal-powered power plants for at least another decade. For the first time, the Supreme Court will hear lawsuits against the Texas heartbeat law, which makes abortions illegal after a heartbeat is detected. Linda McClain, a professor of law at Boston University, tells CBSN what to expect.
To challenge an unconstitutional law that prevents women from getting access to abortion after 6 weeks.
USA Radio News.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hey, back with you. Good to have you with us. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Donahue is going to join us in just a moment. We're going to be talking about his new book, The Truth About Clergy Sexual Abuse. Let's just lay it out. We've been saying this for a long time, that we just needed to be transparent, bring it to the foreground, and let the truth be the healing agent that God wants it to be. Bill Donahue joins us now. Bill, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Bill.
Hey, thank you for, confronting, this issue. But before we do, I wanted to get your read. President Biden met with the Pope here, as we know, last week. What did you make of this meeting?
Well, we put out a statement the other day. I wrote a couple of them about it. I was delighted to find out on Thursday that the Vatican basically stiffed Biden and did not allow him the usual big photo op and giving gifts and all this other nonsense that goes on. That the fact that they did that within 24 hours before the meeting, I thought that was telling. Maybe they didn't want to be used by him.
Right.
Because he's in trouble with the U.S. bishops. They're meeting a few weeks in Baltimore. And there's nothing that Biden wanted more than a photo op. So he didn't get that. So then he comes out after the meeting and he says, well, the Pope said that I was a good Catholic and I should keep going to communion. Well, let's throw out the good Catholic for a bit. He might have said something about, it's nice that you have your rosary here and I'll bless it for you. That's a good Catholic. I'm more concerned about the comment that the Pope allegedly said that keep going to communion. Personally, I don't believe it. I wrote it on Friday. I gave many, 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 many examples of Biden being a pathological liar. And he wanted one thing out of this, to say to the bishops, see that? I got the big guy. I got the Pope on my side, and right. I can go to communion anytime I want. The Vatican has said nothing. That's typical. I wish they would clarify, because right now, the number of Catholics who are angry at the Pope is astronomical.
Oh, I got to tell you, I am a Catholic, And I've been waiting for a response from the Vatican. It deserves response because Joe Biden put it out publicly. And you know, with these kind of situations, you reveal it in the form in which it was delivered. If he, you know, if the Pope says, if that's his stand and that's what he wants to say, then he can do that. And, you know, it'll clarify some of the confusion that believers have. And this is disturbing, you know, on its face all around, whether it has to do with Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi. There's others. I can't remember the congressman, I think, out of California, who basically challenged. And to me, somebody asked me about it. I said, well, he didn't challenge the bishop. He challenged God himself by saying that he dared them not to give him communion.
Right, right. No, you're right. And everything you said is accurate. And there is a problem here. I know it's not characteristic of the Vatican to want to come out and say something at this point. It obviously puts them a little bit of a pickle because they don't really want to come out and say that the president, was misstated what happened. But I think if they don't say that,
yes,
then people are left with the conclusion that, you know, Biden won and the Pope looks like he's violating canon law, quite frankly.
Exactly. And what are the rest of the Catholics supposed to think? You know, this is a huge violation. I mean, this is what stands in the balance here, is the credibility of the Pope and the credibility of Catholics in our faith.
Well, you nailed it 100%. I can't improve on what you just said.
All right, let's talk about the truth about clergy sexual abuse. You've written a book, you know, answering this. I think it's been a book that's been a long time coming to get down to, you know, having gone through due process and understanding exactly what's going on. You know, there are nefarious elements right now that would like to bring the church, the Catholic Church specifically, the church in general, to its knees. You know, I reminded our audience, Bill, here last week that regarding COVID, I have not heard of one super spreading event that emanated from any church in this country or anywhere in the world. Have you?
No. And that just begs the question, why then these draconian measures? Mm-hmm. After all, right here in New York City, where I am right now, right across the street from my office, I'm across from Macy's and Penn Station in the part of New York, and there's a huge vacant building there. It used to be Foot Lockers. The reason it's no longer there is because it was busted into when Black Lives Matter and Antifa went on their spree last year, and they were allowed to do so basically legally because the cops were told to stand down. I'm not blaming the police. I'm blaming Mayor de Blasio. Why am I mentioning this? Well, what about the super spreader event there? You had thousands of people right during the height of the pandemic locking arms all together. And you had 1,300 medical professionals, doctors, who came out and said it's more important to fight racism than it is to worry about the super spreader event. I mean, the number of charlatans that have been involved in this subject is stunning.
Yes.
I mean, there were people on our side who did fight back. Corleone, Archbishop of San Francisco, and others, but not enough.
Yeah, but my point in saying this, Bill, is that you know that if there had been a super spreading event emanating from any churches across the country, the legacy media would have been all over it. And all this to point out, again, if that doesn't cause you to raise your hands and say, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, I don't know what will, because God, true to his promise, has been protecting his chosen ones.
Well, I think that's right. And, you know, the good news is that I think a lot of Americans have caught on to this now. And there's been so much duplicity on the part of the medical professionals, beginning with our guru, Dr. Fauci, that no wonder a lot of people are skeptical now. It's a healthy skepticism.
Yes. And we need to maintain that in spite of social media and anything that would like to inhibit our ability for free speech, because we're going to get down to this bottom. I mean, whenever you look at anything, even like with your book, there has to be transparency. We have to approach this honestly, as painful as it may be. We need to deal with this in total honesty. Otherwise, we're not going to arrive at that point that they always, you know, politicians, I always love what they say. We want to make sure this never happens again. And then they go and they package some, you know, body of lies and set us up for something worse even down the road.
Well, most of what's been out there in the conventional wisdom on this subject has been wrong. Mm-hmm. I mean, I spent over 20 years involved in this thing. I have a doctorate in sociology. I've read all the all of the studies on this. I've read all the books on the other side as well. You know, there are a number of myths that I try to debunk in this book, beginning with the idea that somehow the Catholic Church owns this problem. Mm-hmm. That's what the Washington Post said a few years ago, that the Catholic Church is somehow unique with this problem. First of all, the problem is over. It's been over for about a half a century. In 2002, the Boston Globe did put the spotlight on what was going on in Boston. It was horrendous. But that was what happened in the 60s and 70s and early 80s. That's when the damage was done, when the church dropped its guard, particularly the decade which was the worst, was clearly the 1970s.
Well, why did the church drop? Why did the church drop its guard during that period of time?
Because it became overloaded. First of all, we had a sexual revolution in our society,
yes.
And the Catholic Church is not the Amish, okay? Mm. God bless the Amish, but we are part of the society. The winds of the sexual revolution, of libertinism, of do whatever you want and go for broke.
Yeah, love the one you're with. Yes, all that, yes.
Yeah, that hit the church as well. Plus, during the 1970s, there was an influx of homosexuals into the Catholic Church, into the priesthood, and the creation of a gay subculture where they basically watched out for each other and covered for each other. That they were teaching in the seminaries in the 1970s, believe it or not. It's all annotated in my book. I have over 800 footnotes to prove what I'm saying. They were teaching in some of the seminaries, not all of them, that basically you could do whatever you want. Not only homosexuality was okay, even bestiality, we should keep a morally non-judgment attitude on this. If people doubt what I'm saying, go read the book by Anthony Kosnick, and he's a former priest. The name of the book is Human Sexuality. This is this kind of stuff. The church was overtaken by people who had lost the faith altogether. I'm talking about some priests and nuns, including some bishops. And it was the worst decade. Now, have we made progress? We've made tremendous progress.
I'll tell you, Bill, we've got to go to break, and I want to go deeper into this. I want to hear more about the progress too, because you're bringing this in proper balance. We've got more from Dr. Bill Donahue on the other side of the break. His new book, The Truth About Clergy Sexual Abuse. Stay with us right here.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. That's 800-628-7226.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Minutes before the top of the hour. I'm Bill Martinez. Bill Donahue continues with us. Bill is the president of the Catholic League for Religious and Civil Rights, and he presents his compelling evidence in the truth about clergy sexual abuse of the great progress that the church has made in preventing abuse contrary to willful public deception by the media, distant groups within the Catholic Church. Bill, as you point out, quite plainly here, is some people are convenient or happy, I guess, to want to live in the past. And as you say, you know, what is being charged here and brought to light is something happening that happened in an era of, that reflected our culture during the 70s, the sexual revolution, which I thought was quite interesting because, you know, along with the sexual revolution of the 60s and 70s we had, we also had the Jesus movement, and we had quite a revival taking place. Interesting contrast that hit our culture at the same time, right?
It is, and unfortunately, the sexual revolution prevailed and wreaked havoc with families and with diseases and the like. And the Catholic Church should not have dropped its guard. You know, it's interesting. Some of the people on the left, and particularly the Catholic left, they'll say, well, the Catholic Church's teachings are the problem. Really? Mm. Well, the Catholic Church's teachings are one of sexual reticence. We emphasize the necessity of restraint. It was the abandonment of restraint that led to the sexual revolution, the idea of libertinism, which is an understanding of freedom as license. Mm. No. Not one priest would have ever gone astray had he ever just simply followed the vows that he took voluntarily regarding chastity, regarding celibacy, and had he followed the teachings of the Catholic Church in terms of its sexual ethics. We wouldn't have had this problem. It was just the opposite. It was the rejection of what the Church teaches that led to this problem.
Excellent point. And the thing is that this is what happened to the Church in the 60s and 70s, and then if you recall, another sexual revolution took place in the middle of the Bill Clinton era, when it just depends, I guess, what the definition of is and what that opened up.
Well, that's right. Yeah. And you know what? The game is being played today, too, even by some people who have done a good job overall. I'm talking about the John Jay College of Criminal Justice, the researchers, the sociologists. I'm a sociologist myself, and I think most of their methodology is quite fine. They did two big studies on the Catholic Church about this problem that took place roughly between 65 and 85, almost all of it. Now, they concluded that less than 5%, about 3.5%, of the molesting priests were pedophiles. Yet the media continued to talk about the pedophile crisis in the Catholic Church. It never existed. almost all of the victims of sexual abuse were post-pubescent adolescent boys, meaning it was homosexuality. It was homosexual priest. It was not pedophile priests who were responsible for the problem. Now, John Jay has the evidence to prove that, but even they will fall back and say, well, we can't say homosexuality had anything to do with it. Well, how did they come to that conclusion?
Mm-hmm.
They said, well, the homosexual priests don't all identify as homosexuals. So, what if they identified themselves as giraffes? Are we now talking about bestiality?
Yeah.
I mean, if they call themselves heterosexuals, would we say we had a heterosexual scandal? Now, I am not saying that, I've said this many times, most gay priests are not molesters.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the molesters were gay.
Yeah.
That's indisputable. And people don't want to talk about it, so the cover-up continues.
Where are we today?
Well, we've made a lot of progress. Benedict XVI and Pope Francis, he agrees with him, Benedict XVI on this, they both have said that men with deep-seated homosexual tendencies should not be admitted to the priesthood. So in other words, if you happen to be a guy and you happen to be attracted to other men and you can put a lid on your libido, you can become a priest. But if you have a problem with it, this is not the place to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that kind of change, the word went out a number of years ago, the party's over. And I blame a lot of the bishops and priests who allowed this thing to take place in the 60s and 70s and early 80s. But we've learned some hard lessons. And if you want to find out where the problem is today, it's in the media, it's amongst lawyers, it's amongst doctors, it's amongst athletic trainers. It's certainly in the public schools.
Oh, without
nobody wants to talk about.
Well, and they've ignored entertainment, for example. I mean, look at the devastation that's happened in Hollywood, exactly. And they do everything they can to bury it. So again, sadly, the church has reflected for a season a part of our society. And but, you know, what you're saying is, and we should be encouraged by this, especially with these numbers. Now, today, what is the estimation of homosexual priests? Do we have an idea of how many homosexual priests are?
It's all over the place. I've heard, 20%. Father Martin says maybe 80%. I talked to a priest recently. His eyes rolled. He just laughed. He said, no, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm gonna guess somewhere is around 40%. And listen, again, look, I think I'm like most Catholics. I don't particularly care whether you're straight or gay. I'm concerned with you, whether you can put a lid on your libido. Are you going to have a ride of the id and let your sexual urges dominate? If that's the case, I wouldn't care straight or gay. Then we have a problem.
Exactly. There's the vow of chastity, and that's where it happens. Now, there's an argument, and I've had this discussion with my priest as well, is that why don't we allow priests just to marry?
Well, that could happen, this is what's called a discipline in the church. It's not some kind of a scriptural doctrine of the church. It's a discipline, pretty much like eating meat on Friday. They relax that, of course, as such. Now, they could do that. They could get away with celibacy. Celibacy was optional for the first 1,000 years of the Catholic Church.
Right.
They encoded and made it official in the second 1,000 years. But I don't think that's going to resolve anything. I'll tell you why. Bill, back in the 1940s and the 1950s, our culture was very different. We didn't have a sexual revolution.
Mm-hmm.
These guys were celibate. Where was the problem? There wasn't a problem. The problem occurred because a lot of these guys who had put a lid on their libido took the lid off once they got the green light that the church had changed its position and dropped its guard in the 1960s and 70s. And finally, by the mid-80s, we began to restore some sanity here. So if the problem was celibacy, we would have this problem back in the 50s. We didn't have this problem in the 50s.
Good point. No, that's a good point. And also what you bring out in terms of church leadership dropping its guard and allowing this, it kind of reminds me of when, the Jewish nation, after judgment and coming back to their homeland, and they realized that they had intermarried. And the leadership had to come in and tell them, look at what you've done is you have violated the purity principles of this nation, and that all these Moabite women and these families, I mean, when you read it, it's heartbreaking to think of what they had to go through, you know, sending families off, just saying, okay, well, you know, we've got to adhere to, you know, to the rules of our nation, and you know, and here they are. I mean, this was not an easy thing, you know, for them to do at that time. I mean, children that they loved, wives that they loved, they had to send off because they were not, you know, they were not Jewish.
Right. Well, and we've gone through this, and we've been through it before. But I mean, it's important for listeners to know that while we did have this problem, and it was inexcusable. It's about a half century old, the worst of it. Almost every case that you hear today, almost every case of any kind of a priest being involved with a minor is a guy who did this a long time ago, decades ago, and he's either dead or he's out of ministry. We used to have thousands and thousands of cases of accusations back in the 70s being made against priests. We're down to single digits. And I do fault the church here now. I'm talking about the bishops and the priests for not getting this word out.
I think so. Absolutely, Bill. What you're sharing right now is an encouragement to all Catholics to realize, to put this in proper perspective. Yes, it was evil. And yes, it took a while, too long to confront, and you have. And here we are today. So there needs to be this State of the Union. I think the Pope has tried to address that a little bit, but I think that they could do a better job.
Absolutely. They shouldn't be afraid to talk about it from the pulpit, because when I talk about it to some of my friends, they say, I never hear about this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do this stuff for a living, and I have the training to do it, so, you know, I'm lucky in that sense, and the evidence is there. But, you know, the priests have to be bolder about this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying running up the flag. I'm saying admit that we had the problem, but admit now that we've made tremendous progress. And if they don't do that, they're doing a disservice to the church.
Wow. This is so important, Bill. This is so important for people, you know, to, as Catholics, to understand, you know, what has happened and the role that all of us played in this, because we bought into the culture. I mean, you know, we're with that, we're in that moment. This, it's interesting because this is the third time it's come up today. We're in that moment when the cancel culture came in force against Jesus with the woman caught in adultery, right?
And, that's exactly right.
And so here and we are. Who's the first one to throw the stone here?
That's true. And when the culture goes south, as it has, when we've been witnessing a kind of a moral decay for the last several decades, and the evidence is, you know, from STDs to all kinds of other problems are out there, the Catholic Church should not assimilate to the culture. It should try to change the culture.
Exactly.
That's what it's there for, to change the culture.
See, and this is the takeaway, Bill Donahue, as you lay it out. This is the takeaway for the church to say, look it, you know, we may have failed on this one, but we can get it better the next time. And the only way we can get it better next time is that we've got to know the truth that will set us free, right?
Yes, and people need to know the teachings of the church never failed us. Some of the teachers, namely the priest, did.
Very well said. Bill, how can people be in touch with you?
Go to our website, CatholicLeague.org. One word, CatholicLeague.org. You'll find a wealth of information.
Bill Donahue, president of the Catholic League. His book, The Truth About Clergy Sexual Abuse, linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Thank you, Bill. God bless.
What better gift to give your loved ones than the gift of good health? And where better to buy those good health gifts than Sunny-Bay.com? Hey, it's great that you're hearing this message now, because buying your holiday gifts from Sunny Bay early will save you money. And that's just one reason why Sunny Bay is in business and has been for over 15 years, helping you with fashionable and useful products for better health. See our unique and quality-made travel pillows, or our unique neck and body wraps that help immediate pain relief and deep muscle relaxation. Come in a wide variety of uses. Apply hot or cold therapy, and are all made in the USA. See our great selection, affordable prices, and wonderful health products at sunny-bay.com. And remember, order early when our stock is high and shipping is fast. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Angie's List.